Well, good morning. So great to see you all here today. And as just Duncan mentioned, we're just going to go to the book of the Gospel of Mark today. I'm going to continue from verse 14 to 20. I'm just going to jump right straight to the scripture. And if you can, open your Bibles with me so we can read the scripture together. By the way, I'm reading ESV version. It should be on the screen. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left the net and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left the father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servant and followed him. So last week we heard from Tara that about the significance of Jesus' baptism, and which marked Jesus' public ministry. And it brings us to this verse from 14 to 20 that I'm going to unpack today, where Jesus stepped onto the scene in Galilee and begins his public and ministry and calling his first disciples. And as Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee, we see that his first act basically is not in a grand kind of like temple or in front of religious leaders, but it's alongside the shore of a working class region. So there is a map here that shows the region of Galilee. It's just right up over there, and you can see the different names with some arrows pointing to them. So sometimes Galilee is overlooked and seen as ordinary place, which becomes a setting for an extraordinary beginnings. By Jesus' time, there was a thriving fishing business, actually, industry along that area. And Jesus was born in Nazareth, and then when he started his public ministry, he moved to the place called Capernaum and started his public ministry over there. Here is where Jesus first started to call his disciples, ordinary fishermen, into an extraordinary mission. And this moment is significant because it shows that Jesus meets people where they are and in their ordinary situations, and invites unlikely individuals to take part in the kingdom of God. He begins his ministry by proclaiming the gospel, declaring that we have all sinned, that's what Jesus says, and you are fall short from God's glory. But yet there is a good news here, that all the scripture and all the prophets are fulfilled in him, and there is salvation and righteousness in him. And he's inviting us to repent and to believe. First, Jesus told the Jewish nation that it is time for them to step into God's great story. And then he starts calling his first disciples and invite them into his story as well. Well, I can only imagine Zebedee's face when his two sons just left him and followed Jesus. So there's a picture of Zebedee in the background with John and James. Just basically just leaving their dad and just going, following Jesus. Just imagine, you're just minding your own business, and just some guy just comes and say, "Follow me." And he just gives you nothing but a promise. What would you do? Would you leave everything behind and follow him? Well, to be honest, I've had this question in my mind. And I play this scenario quite a lot, actually, in my mind. I remember one instance when I was cycling back from university to home, and I got flat tired the middle of the way, and it was quite a distance, and I didn't have any repair pack or any help. So I decided to push along my punctured bicycle with me home, basically. And I was thinking about this scenario. Well, what if Jesus just come now and appeared and said, follow me? What would I do this with this heavy bike now? Is he able to fix it for me? Or should I just leave the bike here? What would I do? And I came to this conclusion that, well, I'm going to take up my bike and I'm going to follow him. You know? Yeah. That's what he asked me to do. I'm going to take up my bike and I'm going to follow him. No way I'm going to leave this bike here. I just paid the last installment. No way I'm going to leave this bike here. And now looking back to that time, I don't think that's what Jesus wanted me to do, to be honest with you. And to be honest with you, that bike got stolen a year after that incident. And this is quite a common thing in London. Yeah. No hard feeling. I absolutely understand. It's fine. I'm not going to take any garage or anything. It's absolutely fine. But the question stays with me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? So my first point, well, first Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. So this place, repentance, is where Jesus begins his work with his disciples. Repent, for the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is at hand, declares Jesus. And echoing the same thing that John the Baptist said. So repentance is a necessary start point for truly responding to Jesus' call. There's a common misunderstanding sometimes about the word repentance and the meaning of repentance. Sometimes we think that repentance only means to say sorry to God. But repentance means much more than just saying sorry. It's not a bad thing to say sorry and feel regret for what you've done wrong and just say sorry to God. But it is not the heart of, it is not actually the heart of what Jesus and John the Baptist means by repentance. Repentance actually means to think differently and reconsider. And it is less to do with saying or being sorry and more involves in a deep turning and reorientating our heart and our mind. I just remember the time when I came to church first time. I wasn't a Christian at the time. And Duncan and I had a session together because I wanted to read the Bible and didn't know where to start. And he asked me, do you know what repentance means? And I said, well, no, I don't know what it means. And he showed me with his hand gesture that it is like a U-turn. You go this way, you turn away and come right in the other direction. That's what repentance is. It means, basically. So you have to reorient your mind. You reorient your heart. Total U-turn. It's not just to say sorry. It's about leaving behind old ways of thinking and acting and valuing life. And it's not just about one-time experience in your conversion, you know. It's not just about that, but it's a continual thing that we do as Christians. You know, we have to repent all the time. That's very important. And Jesus, by saying repent, is inviting us to let go of these things that keeps us from trusting God fully and embracing a new way of life shaped by the gospel. You were talking about revival, Duncan. And I think repentance is a total mind shift that concerning things of God. And if we are going to see this expression of God's kingdom today, do we desire to see that or not? Are we desire to see revival or not? So repentance is the first step. Our thinking must change. If we want to be truly a follower of Jesus, we have to return away of our old way of thinking. We read in Romans 12 that Paul says that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It means recognizing the way that we allow fear, pride, comfort, distractions that are all around us, and make our decisions and influence our decisions and do a U-turn from all those things. And repentance actually opens a real place for discipleship. It clears out whatever competes with God's voice in our life. For Simon, James, Andrew, and John, repentance was just to leave the nets and the source of identity and security. But for us, it means to rethink our purpose, realizing our grip on certain things and dreams in our life that are resisting to God's calling for us. The second point is Jesus' call and the disciples respond. So I don't think that the disciples' experience was that Jesus was just this random guy who came and asked him to follow him. It's more likely that they knew about Jesus. We just have to remember they were living in a really small community, so the news would have spread so quickly, so they would have known about Jesus. Probably some of them, they may have witnessed Jesus' baptism, or even they might have been following John and his teaching and heard from him that he would say that someone would come after him who is mightier than him, whose sandals he is unworthy to untie. Take all this into account, the disciples may have recognized the signs and they chose to follow Jesus with a sense of expectation and hope. Did they know what they're stepping into? Well, I honestly don't think so if they did. Yeah. But they did take a first step, and the first step is usually the hardest, isn't it? They set out in this journey of faith with Jesus, even though they had more questions than answers. And we should not read our questions as an excuse to not step to this journey with Jesus. Peter and his brother Andrew had better reason to delay making this first step and this decision. Yet they believed Jesus when he promised them that I will make you become fishers of men. And you will fish for men's soul and women's soul. They believed that he would turn nobodies like them to great apostles, and they surrendered everything to them, to Jesus. You may have more questions than answers at this time. You may debate whether you should follow Jesus at this time. But don't let that stop you from praying to Jesus, from wanting to take the first step to follow Jesus. Now, what does it mean to follow Jesus in our age and in our time? So it is the same spirit of surrender, but within this complexity of our new life. This might not mean just to leave our literal net, but it does involve letting go of self-control, self-ambitions, consumeristic values, and social expectations. Things that are competing with Christ's call, basically. It means being attentive to God's voice amid all this noise and busyness that surround us in this world. And today, in our individual culture, Jesus is telling us he wants the priority over everything else in our life. Jesus is telling us that knowing him, resembling him, and serving him must be the supreme passion of our life. Everything else comes second. He wants us to spend less time just scrolling up and down off our screens and our phones and spend more time with him. To have more fellowship with him, to have more fellowship with the Holy Spirit, in fervent prayer, in reading the word, in giving him glory and honor in our worships. And of course, there will be a sacrifice to follow Jesus. Jesus never promised us an easy life. It's a full commitment. Following Jesus is a full commitment, and it involves sacrifice. It means that putting everything else in our lives second to Jesus. Doesn't matter who it is or what it is. Yeah? Following Jesus is a commitment above all other ties and commitments. Yes, we are called to follow Jesus. The way we each of us follow him is different. But there is something that we share, and that's when we can, when we, the person we're following, we can trust. In him and only in him is life and eternity. And I made my decision to follow Jesus in every area of my life, including my finances. And today marks the first day of our gift day. In our leadership team, we were chatting about what the goal is going to be. So everyone came with different numbers. I came with £20,000. And then I realized that what God has done previously, before, in our church, when we managed to raise £40,000 for our center to refurbish it. And I thought, yeah, we pray for that. And God came through, so it's going to happen again. So I, full of faith, I said, £40,000. But I have to be honest with you. About 2 weeks ago, fear crept into my heart. I started doing the math. Yeah, I'm not good at math, but I did it anyway. And I thought, if you want to raise this much money, every one of us has to just give sacrificially. And although I knew that as a family, we have decided to be generous, I knew it wasn't enough. So yeah, just the fear begins to fill my heart. And then God reminded me, he's still the same God who took 5 loaves and 2 fish and blessed them and fed 5,000. So I've chosen to follow him with the little I have. And I want to repent in front of all of you. I repent for reducing God to my human calculation. And he's greater than my numbers. He's greater than my fear. And he's a God of abundance. And I believe he's going to bring blessing, salvation, healing, and restoration to Graham Park and beyond. So I come and I will follow him with what I can. My last point is the agency of the season. So Jesus begins his call of 4 fishermen. So what is the fisherman first disciples' skill set was? So they had this CV with one skill.
Fishing.
Perfect. Does anyone like fishing? No? No one likes fishing. Has anyone done fishing? Yeah. Yeah? Well, I have a story to tell. Well, I went fishing once, and only once. I just wanted to try it out to see if I enjoy the hobby so I can continue. But the spoiler alert, I didn't. So first of all, I went to my friend, I borrowed a fishing rod and something that looked like a stick with reel, some taped on it. And there was this thing, looked suspiciously like expired dental floss as a fishing net, fishing line. Yeah. So I was excited. I thought, I'm going to give it a try. So I borrowed that anyway. And then came the worm. Oh, this worm. I was told that I have to push this worm onto the hook. I needed to thread the worm onto the hook. Can you believe it? Did you know you have to thread the whole hook, this poor thing, into the hook? I simply couldn't bring myself to do it. So I'm in the poor little thing. So instead, I just try to improvise. So I tie the worm on the hook. Just like I was wrapping a little tiny gift. I thought just a gentle knot would be just as effective. Well, it wasn't really, but I did give it a try, and I was watching a video just to know how to do the fishing. So this cheerful YouTube fisherman guided me, and he said that well, you have to build a momentum. So I swung the rod back, the line back, to build the momentum, and the hook got stuck on a tree behind me. So that took me a while to untangle the hook, And this is all genuine. I really did all these things. I still gave it a try. I finally managed to put the hook in the water. Although I had to go through the whole worm situation again. But long story short, I did manage to catch a fish at the end. Yeah. Very small fish, yellow. But there was just the joy I felt at that moment. You should have seen my face. I felt, if you would have seen me, you would have thought that I caught a Moby Dick at the time. But there was this joy and exaltation of catching this little fish. Jesus is calling his disciples to be fishers of men, an assignment that they will fulfill when they continue with the continual fellowship with him and carry out his mission. But what does it mean to become fishers of men? Well, Jesus' word recalls Jeremiah 16, 15 to 17. Where fishers and hunters of men will call people back from idols to God after judgment has occurred. The nation will come to Yahweh, rejecting the idols and confessing that he alone is God and thus able to save. And speaking to Simon and James and Andrew, who were fishermen by trade, Jesus spoke their own language, but with far deeper spiritual meaning. Instead of casting net for fish, he's calling them for a new kind of work, drawing people into God's kingdom. To become fisher of men means to participate in Jesus' mission of reaching out to others with love, truth, and hope for salvation. Just as fishing requires skill, patience, and effort, as we just witnessed, so does sharing the message of Jesus with the world. I did a little bit of research to see what fishing season is. Well, in the UK, it refers to a period of time that is legal to fish in rivers, streams, and lakes, and generally from March to October. And the key part of this season, this fishing regulation, is closed season, which is a period that fishing is prohibited. And anglers need a fishing license to fish in many public waters, even during the fishing season. There is a season for fishing. It starts and it will end. The call of Jesus is an urgent call that requires an immediate action and respond. Have you noticed that there's a new season of fishing for men and women? Have you felt it? Yeah? So people today are hungrier for God than ever before. There is a deep longing to know him more and to pray and to be prayed for. All the philosophies and ideologies of this world have failed to satisfy that hunger. They haven't answered the big questions. And as a result, many have turned away from atheism, from false religions, and searching for answers elsewhere. The young generation, especially Gen Z, is surprisingly open now. A couple of weeks ago, we discussed the statistic. Something called a quiet revival is happening, and is taking place at the moment. Church attendance among Gen Z is rising. And they're not just showing up because they have to, but they want to show. They want to, and they choose to. They're genuinely seeking, and many are starting to find what they've been searching for. I work at Art University, a place where you would expect to see anything but people openly seeking God. And yet, I recently noticed some posters on the notice board. Students are organizing weekly Bible studying and worship gathering on campus. It is so exciting to see this is happening. The fishing season is open, guys. We can't afford to miss this opportunity. We all have the license. We are all anointed for this mission. And there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just remember, we're all called to fish, to be fishers of men. Jesus commanded us that you have to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, in a moment, I'm just going to ask for a response. There are three things that I would like you to respond to, one of them. I'm just going to explain what I'm going to ask you for. And then, one by one, I'm going to ask those questions, if that's okay. Yeah? Is it okay if I invite the band up, please? So the first one is response to Jesus' call. If you've never fully given your life to Jesus, if you've been around, if you've been to church, but you've never made the decision to repent and follow him wholeheartedly, today is your moment. Just like he called Simon, Andrew, Peter, James and Peter, and John, he's calling you as well. The second thing is repentance. Maybe you are following Jesus, but Holy Spirit is nudging your heart. There is an area in your life, like an attitude or a pattern or a habit, that you know needs to shift. The call to repent isn't just for unbelievers, but for us as Christians as well. And third, and lastly, maybe your heart burns to share your faith more boldly in this season. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you become the fishers of men. Can I ask everyone to stand up, please? So I'm just going to ask questions, guys. And if you feel that God is calling you to respond to any of these things, please raise your hand. And at the end, I will pray separately for each point. So if you want to follow Jesus and give him your life, please raise your hands today. Thank you. Thank you. If you're aware of something in your life that needs to change, you're ready to bring it before God in repentance, please lift your hand. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered to witness, to carry his presence, and to fish for souls effectively, lift your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah, Father God, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who haven't decided to follow you before, and now they see this as an opportunity to say yes to your calling, Lord. I just pray that you may break every stronghold that might take them away from you. I just pray, Lord, that you may stir their heart and their mind, Lord, that they see the truth of who you are, the loving Father, Almighty God, and see that you are calling them to be his or her son or daughter, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are so generous, that you are giving us grace for freedom, Lord. This grace, Lord, for free and you're freeing us from all our chains, our bondages, Lord. I just pray for my brothers and sisters that you may encounter them, Lord, fresh and with power, Lord, that they may see and understand who you are, Lord. I pray for all of us, Lord, including myself, that you may show the places in our life, in our heart, that needs a U-turn, a turnaround, Lord. That you may show us what we need to repent. That we may come back to you, Lord, fully and wholeheartedly, Lord, in following you, Lord. Yes, Lord, show us, Lord, in which area do we need to repent, Lord. Let us have the courage to step forward in repentance, Lord. Open our eyes to see those areas, Lord, if you're prioritizing anything and putting you in second, Lord, we just want to repent. We just want to say, so, Lord, we are sorry, but not just sorry, but we want to turn around and change our direction completely, Lord. We just want to say, Lord, you are in the center. You are the only one that we're going to follow. We are not going to let any of those things to take your space, Jesus. You are the only one that we want to follow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Show us what we need to repent, Lord. And Lord, I pray for everyone whose hand is up, and myself included, Lord, that you may empower us, Lord, with Holy Spirit, fill us afresh, Lord, that we may come out boldly today, Lord, to fish the souls of men and women. Thank you, Lord, for you are so gracious, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are so loving, Lord. Let us come boldly and effectively, Lord, in this season. Let us not just neglect what is happening around us, Lord. Yeah, let us see this opportunity, Lord, as we are going to the new set, to this new place in Graham Park in Espoo, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we be bold in proclaiming your name. We ask for this revival, Lord, that happens there, that hundreds and hundreds of people come to know you, Lord. Because what you have put in heart, our heart, and your goodness, your glory may be there, Lord, and your name be lifted high and up, Lord, in that area, Lord. We just want to see, Lord, healing come. We just want to see, Lord, freedom come. And it all starts with repentance, Lord. So we just repent, we just want to turn back, and Lord, we ask for your empowerment, because nothing that we can do is all your power, all your will that has been done in our life, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all those hands that are up now. And I just pray your blessing over one each of them, Lord. Fill them afresh, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, God. Fill them afresh, Lord. Come in holy power, Lord.